Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine.
You're going to have to bear with me for a minute because I did a little bit of research here.
Uh-oh.
So let's say you're driving through a neighborhood and there are children playing all around you. The town decides that they want to try to slow down cars driving through the neighborhood, so they put up stop signs. But people don't stop, or they glide through the stop signs. So then they try to put these speed information devices. These are these things that display how fast you're going to motorists, but they don't work either. So in some states, I guess, where the NRA is particularly strong, maybe they've tried sharpshooters. But in most other states, they've installed these sleeping policemen. Now, these policemen, as they're called, are these engineered devices that are used to slow traffic by installation of a vertical 4-inch high little hill that are often 8 to 12 feet long. I think everybody knows them. Perhaps they know them by some of the other names, including speed humps, road humps, speed breakers. In New Zealand, they called them a judder bar. In Australia, they call them a ramp. Anyways, the idea is that you slow down the car. Now, by way of background for those listeners from New Jersey, the first sleeping policeman was installed in June 1906 in the town of Chatham, New Jersey. Anyways, these bumps can be made of lots of different things, plastic, metal, asphalt, rubber. Just bear with me for another minute. The use of these speed bumps is widespread around the world. They are most commonly found in municipalities where speeds are mandated to be very low, usually less than 25 miles an hour. Although the speed bumps are very effective in keeping speed down, their use can sometimes be controversial because they can cause noise, they increase pollution, and some drivers complain they cause vehicle damage when they're taken at too great a speed. The installation of these bumps costs between $150 and $200, and they have to be replaced. Now, the cost of $200 is small compared to the cost of many diagnostic medical tests. So here we go. Just hold on. If we have speed bumps anyways, can they be used to diagnose some sorts of illnesses? Schizophrenia? Probably not. STDs? Probably not. Appendicitis? Well, what would happen if we didn't do those expensive CAT scans and we put some of these sleeping policemen in the ER parking lot and had the orderlies take patients out for a drive? Well, the BMJ 2012, volume 345, asks the question, what is the diagnostic accuracy of asking about pain on traveling over speed bumps in patients with suspected appendicitis? Mark, long introduction there. What did they find?
Here, I thought you were going to say something about appendicitis. If our listeners aren't aware, the British Medical Journal, the last issue of the year, published research that may be real research, but it's got, you know, kind of a funny spin to it, or sometimes it's completely fanciful. There was one of a randomized crossover trial of parachutes for people who are advocates of evidence-based medicine. And so this is one that was a little more real. I was actually one of the peer reviewers on this article when it came out, and I really enjoyed it and wanted to include it in poems when it hit the press. So, yeah, they had 101 patients who came into a hospital, and they were referred to the surgical team for suspected appendicitis, and the surgeons trotted down to the ER, and they asked them several questions about their trip to the hospital. And they asked, one of the questions was, did you go over a speed bump? And if they did it cause worsening of the pain? So of the 101 patients, 64 had traveled over a speed bump. So they must have a lot of these in London or wherever they were. And of those who had hit a speed bump, 53% had appendicitis, and 97% of those were speed bump positive. They had pain. So if they actually had appendicitis, 97% had pain with it. So very sensitive. Of the patients without appendicitis, a lot of them, 70%, also reported pain. So it's what we call a snout, a highly sensitive test that when it's negative, rules out. So if you ask them, did you hit a speed bump? And they say, yep. And then you ask them, Did it hurt worse when you went over the speed bump? And they say, nope, that makes appendicitis a lot less likely. And, you know, the specificity sounds pretty bad. Specificity is about 30%, sensitivity is 97%. It's important to realize that's actually pretty much in line with a lot of the signs and symptoms we use, like rebound tenderness and migratory pain. So another thing to add to your list of questions when you've got a kid or an adult who is coming into the ER with suspected appendicitis, ask them if they hit a speed bump, and if so, did it make the pain worse? If it did, it doesn't rule in appendicitis, but if it didn't, it makes it a lot less likely.
You know, in my hospital, I get sort of jitters just watching the transporters, what we used to call orderlies, taking the patients over to the CAT scan suite. And you think that, oh, my goodness, it's this sleeping policeman equivalent.
I mean, we called it the gurney sign. You know, we would sidle up to the gurney and a patient would be lying there and, you know, we're trying to figure out what they have and somebody would give a sharp knee to the gurney and if they, you know, bent over, clutched their abdomen and moaned in pain, it was a positive gurney sign. Same basic principle. So
interesting. I also, I don't want to offend anybody from New Jersey, but I do wonder why they called this the sleeping policeman in 1906. I wonder if it just reminded them of some of these gentlemen that were resting at lunch hour.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.